This week's episode is sponsored by BRD. The BRD wallet is one of the easiest ways to get started in cryptocurrency. It has a way to exchange crypto in it. You can onboard from fiat using your bank account. And it is non-custodial, which means you own your own keys, which is a big deal to us here.
Nice.
So if you're responsible enough to handle your own money, go download the BRD app.
And let me just add one quick thing. BRD is far and away the easiest wallet to use. They've got beautiful user experience, beautiful user interaction, and
and beautiful people behind the project.
Really beautiful people behind the project. You're damn right.
Yeah. Follow them on Twitter at BRDHQ.
Indeed. What's up, Crypt Nation? Bryson Pizza Mind here, and we're wishing you the happiest of Saturdays.
Only the happiest. If you're not freaking happy, you're going to be by the end of this
episode. If you're not happy, get the heck out of here. Because only happy crusaders here in Crypt Nation.
That makes us sound like a crazy cult, but fuck it.
So today, in Weekly Fire, we've got lots of exciting things to talk about. This was probably one of the biggest weeks of news.
Finally.
We had some execs at Apple come out saying that cryptocurrency is the future.
Yeah.
Did not really see that one coming.
That didn't even make the cut for any of Today in Crypto because there's been so much amazing news going on. We'll get into that at the end of the show.
Yes.
Right now, we have... Man, this has been the week we've been waiting for, truthfully. It's been such a boring winter, a boring summer, and finally it all just has dropped at once. So this is really, really exciting.
Yeah, you know, yesterday Bakkt also launched their custodial service that they've been trying to launch for a month. They've been trying to launch it for a year since November of last year. They've been saying that they were going to launch it. And for those of you guys that aren't familiar with Bakkt, these are the physically settled Bitcoin futures owned by ICE, and ICE owns the New York Stock Exchange, so these are not little players here.
No. Speaking of not little, there was a $1 billion transfer of BTC last night, which is rumored to be going to Bakkt's warehouse.
Yeah, so there's lots of exciting developments. So if you needed a reason to be bullish, you should stay tuned and listen to this episode, because I think we've only had about bullish news this week.
Absolutely. And it was funny because just last week we were talking about how they want to scare you out or wear you out.
Right.
And we're really worn out. So share this episode with everyone else who's like us, really worn out, because finally our patience looks like it's going to pay off.
Yes.
Tell us about the crypto weather report. What are you seeing now?
Yeah, so let me pull up my charts here. So we've been consolidating again since, you know, about June 26th. We had this high volume blow off top to 14K, just touched it. And for the last 2 months, man, we've just been, you know, ranging in between more or less, 9K and 11K. And there's these, you know, the average price for the last several weeks in the place where for the last 2 months and the place where the most shares have traded is right here at about 10.8. So that's $10,800 per Bitcoin. And yesterday and today and the day before that and the day before that, we hit it very closely. We came up to 10.8, bounced back. Came up to 10.8, bounced back. And so we're trying to test it. And basically there's a rule of thumb when it comes to trading, and it is that the more times a support and or resistance gets touched, the weaker it becomes. So right now we're flirting with that level on the intraday charts. It's just going to take a little bit of time before we break out. Most of our moving averages are pointing up. We're starting to get a more volume in the market, which is good because without volume, we're not going to be moving anywhere. So I know I've been talking a lot about seeing that 8K level get hit. I'm still hoping for it, of course, because then we could get our bids filled. But it's going to take a lot to push it below that 9K level. So I don't know. We're really going to have to see. But at the end of the day, the alts are starting to get a rebound. I know we had Augur boosted something like 30% in less than a day. Against Bitcoin. So that was a very powerful move off the back of some of the fundamentally strong altcoins. But the thing is, it's like we didn't see any any you know, rebounds in the other main altcoins like Ethereum or Litecoin or Binance Coin. It seemed like it was just one-offs. So until we see a market-wide rally on the alternative cryptocurrencies, you know, I'm still holding, you know, my Tether positions. I'm still holding my Bitcoin positions, and I'm not really screwing around much with some of the littler coins.
Yeah, Bitcoin dominance is still rising, correct? It's almost 71% now?
Yep, it still is. So, I mean, that just goes to show that this is still a Bitcoin bull market and an altcoin bear market. And you don't want to be really stuck holding these altcoins during their downtrend. You need to wait for them to bottom out, start to go sideways in that accumulation pattern, and then break back out up on high volume. So until then, patience is the name of the game. They're wearing us out right now. But on the intradays, they're scaring you out. Like on Friday, we saw another 6% drop, right, in a matter of a minute or two. So this is just a way to shake out highly leveraged intraday traders. So we don't want to be that, right? We want to be the long-term investors who believe in the product, who believe in the future of this market, and are willing to, you know, hold it over the long term and not try and trade in and out of these positions. So at the end of the day, my system tells me on the monthly chart, this is a buy. On the weekly chart, this is a buy. And on the daily chart, we're still in between things. So that's kind of what we're working with here. And that's kind of it for the weekly weather report.
Thank you very much. That was really insightful. I have to wonder if alts have finally bottomed out or not.
They haven't. I mean, you could look at the, like, look, you could pull up the crypto compare. If you go to TradingView, the ticker's total two. This is the crypto total market cap excluding Bitcoin. And we're in a severe downtrend still.
Yeah, it hasn't even turned around yet.
It hasn't turned around. So, I mean, it looks like we're reaccumulated, right? Like, boom, we had this blow off top here in January 2018. Dead cat bounces all along the way up until May, and then a slow and steady grind, and then a pump more or less from the beginning of this year to, you know, halfway through the year in July, and then another slow and steady downtrend. So we'll see if we could hold support here. If we can, that'd be great. I'd be looking to re-enter those positions, but until the moving averages turn around, man, you know, I'm steering clear.
Yeah, that's a good call. Looking at that chart, it's very, very obvious.
But another interesting thing here, is like if you pull up the weekly chart and you throw on some Bollinger Bands, and for those of you who aren't familiar, the Bollinger Bands are a technical indicator that just measure two standard deviations above price and two standard deviations below price. And it basically, the theory is that it holds 95% of price action within those two standard deviations above and below price. So the other idea is that like when it's hitting the top of that range, it's a good time to be a seller. And when it's hitting the bottom of that range, it's a good time to be a buyer. And so we are coming back down to the bottom of that range. So for value investors, you're looking at a pretty good risk to reward ratio. So that could be something else to be thinking with.
Very, very interesting. So, all right. Thank you very much.
So let's keep the momentum going and let's move on to our next segment.
Hot or not.
Hot or not.
So we do have some altcoins that have made some significant gains this week. Probably nothing you're holding, though. We have XMAX up 75%. Chili's up 58%. That's a new Binance DEX token. And Thunder token up 45%.
Do you know anything about these coins?
I had to look them up just to make sure that these were actually halfway legitimate. Thunder token is invested in by Pantera Capital.
Okay, they're so very legit.
They must be something.
Yeah, that's a good point that we actually haven't brought up really. It's like if you look at projects and you could go around and see who's invested in them, that's one way to do diligence essentially. They always say do your own research, and we are big proponents of people doing their own research, but kind of a proxy for doing your own research is seeing who else is advertised as an investor. But that's also tricky because, you know, people like Pantera or Galaxy Digital or Alphabet Fund, you know, all of these really prolific cryptocurrency hedge funds and investment banks, they've all made bad decisions in the past, you know. They don't have a 100% hit
Traditional
rate.
Investors expect that 9 out of 10 of their investments are going to be total losses, because that one left over is going to make up for all of it.
Right.
So I think, necessarily take that as gospel, but I mean, it had to be at least legitimate enough for them to give it a try.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I remember there was a coin that Block Tower invested in, and maybe Pantera, but I know Block Tower was in it. It's called Basis. And Basis was trying to make a issue crypto-backed bonds and stable coins and stuff. And there was a lot of hype around it. There was a lot of hype. And then they ended up saying, hey, this isn't possible. We didn't get all the right regulation stuff. We're going to give all of our investors money back. And so, you know, be careful what you invest in. Be careful what the projects you're looking at. And just at the end of the day, you know, Bitcoin, in my opinion, is the most secure bet here in the entire space. It's tried. It's true. It's proven. It's got the most network effect. It's got the most institutional demand. It's got the most retail demand. It's the most widespread. So try not to get too bogged down by some of the other cryptocurrencies. Focus on learning about the main ones, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and you'll be good. You know, one of the things that I did when I first started getting into cryptocurrency, when I first started hearing about it, you know, I realized, I was like, oh, wow, okay, I could put $50 in here. And then, you know, next week that $50 is $60. Okay, the week after that, it's maybe 65. Then the week after that is maybe 55, right? So it started to fluctuate. And I'd never invested in stocks prior to learning about crypto. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is like how a stock moves. That's pretty cool. And so every paycheck that I got, I just started putting in $50 a week. $50 a week or every 2 weeks or whatever it was. And slowly but surely just dollar cost averaging. So that's a way that you can get exposure to the space without going all in at once, without getting too greedy. You know, there was no greed in that kind of investment practice, and greed always leads to bad decisions. It was just, you know, a way to diversify away from the dollar. So at the end of the day, guys, if you're not buying at least a little bit every day, a little bit every week, whatever you can spare. You know, I think that, you know, that's my, that's what I would, you know, kind of, that's how I started. So, you know, this isn't, you know, legal advice, this isn't financial advice, but at the end of the day, you guys got to be getting exposure to this space, because trust me, once we break out above this range that we've been consolidating for this whole summer, essentially, you're going to FOMO if you're not well positioned. And, you know, we've all been there. FOMO, that for those of you guys who haven't heard the term FOMO, fear of missing out, it's kind of a term that was pioneered by the social media people when you would post pictures on social media and your friends would say, oh my God, you know, I miss you or whatever. I can't believe I'm missing out on this. But in regards to cryptocurrency, it is, you know, the price moves up so quickly and you're not in it. So you're not realizing any of that price gain. And then boom, it goes up 100% and you just can't bear it anymore. You just can't stand it. And you have to go and purchase that at a price that is probably about to return back to its lows. It just come off a big, big run. So, you know, people create price. Price is people. When the market's really excited, you could see that it's wide-ranging green candlesticks to the upside. And then when the market's really fearful, you could see that as well. So you just want to be on the right side of the market, and we're going to help you here at Crypto 101 to do that.
And you can see that definitely in our not section. All three of these tokens had tremendous runs over the past couple months, working their way up into the top 40 market caps. And they've taken severe regression this week as investors are taking profits. So Egretia down 63%.
Damn, we talked about them last week. They were on the hot.
They were.
Damn.
Energy down 38%. And Ren
returning
down 30%.
They are again back to back, 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
So, but still a legit project.
Yeah, it's still very, very early.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, I mean, Pizza Mind, how many projects have we gotten exposure to that, or known about or heard about, that are totally legit projects and, you know, great companies, great teams, but at the end of the day, the value of their coin goes down 99%.
And this is something we were talking about when we were taking a walk the other day, perceived value versus actual value.
Right. I think now is kind of the perfect time to remind Crypt Nation about the BRD wallet app. Again, this is the best place to store your digital currency. It's the safest. It's virtually unhackable. They don't own any of your account information. You don't need a username. You don't need a password to sign up. You don't need to give any sort of personally identifiable information. You just generate a Bitcoin wallet or a Ethereum wallet, and you are on your way. This is a great app. It's beautiful to use. Super easy. You know, you could trade from it. You could check your prices. It's got almost everything you need.
I'm getting arthritis in my thumb just from scrolling through all the different coins that are supported here.
Yeah. They're, how many is it? Like hundreds?
A lot.
Yeah. Maybe a thousand.
It's a lot.
So what, if you think you have a coin that, you know, you can't find a wallet for it, I would check out BRD because odds are they support it. So go ahead, download the app. It's on Apple. It's on Android. These guys are everywhere. Follow them on Twitter at BRDHQ.
The perceived value of all these tokens right now is next to nothing. Mm-hmm. It does not represent their actual value. Nexo put out a press release earlier. Nexo's trading at around 7-8 cents. And they said, hey, guys, our actual token value, which is a security, which represents shares of their profits, is actually worth closer to 30 cents. Hmm. And they put out a full report, full transparency, explaining why this is. And then upon that news, Nexo shot up like 20, 25%.
Damn.
Still nowhere near its actual value. But the rest of our life works that way too. We have this perceived value of a brand new 70-inch TV that comes onto the market doing 8K, and people want you to spend, you know, $5,000 on it. But then next year, that same TV is only $2,000. Mm-hmm. And the year after that, it's $800. And the year after that, it's on sale for $499 on Christmas. It's the same amount of chips and everything. It's the same hardware that went into it. But the perceived value is not that it's brand new, cutting edge, rare anymore. Hmm. It's the exact same TV. But now the actual value is...
And value is only value. Value is only value in relation to something else that you can compare it to, right?
Right.
So in the world of crypto, it's like maybe a technology that came out in 2016 was cutting edge and great, and then, you know, the price skyrockets because everybody's like, oh, I've never seen anything like this. This is one of a kind. And then people copy the tech. People come out with new inventions and all sorts of things. And so then, you know, that cutting edge thing is no longer cutting edge. Because in relation to the rest of the market, it's not so special anymore.
Yeah, very true.
So, yeah, I don't know. Pretty interesting stuff going on. Anyhow, let's move on from the hot or not segment to smoke and mirrors. So smoke and mirrors, again, it's a segment that we like to talk about, you know, basically things that are going on in the world, perception, illusions, and scams, or I don't know. How else would you put it, Pete?
Yeah, we're just going to have a little discussion. Perhaps a debate about something that seems to be going on. We're going to try and put a little bit more steak behind the sizzle.
A little more steak behind the sizzle. So yeah. This is something that that keeps Pizza Mind awake at night. And he's convinced that America is falling behind the rest of the world. So Pizza, why don't you lay out your side of that argument? Why do you think America is falling behind the rest of the world? And what do you really mean by that?
What I really mean by that is America has the most to lose in this shift towards digital currency away from fiat. Right now, the U.S. dollar is the world reserve currency, which means pretty much everywhere in the world you go, the U.S. dollar is accepted. All the other fiat currencies are exchanged into the U.S. dollar. Oil is purchased in the U.S. dollar. Gold is purchased in the U.S. dollar. But that's been weakening a lot. And now interest rates are really low. We've hit and had to pass through our debt ceiling as a country. Mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, life's really good here. But we have the most to lose because it's not that good in many other places of the world that are now turning to cryptocurrency, that are turning to blockchain, that are passing very, very favorable laws saying if you're not happy in China or the U.S. with all their business rules, come here. We'll let you do whatever you want. We'll let you make as much money as you want, however you want to make it. We'll hardly tax you, or we won't tax you at all. And that's happening in not just third world countries, but, you know, first world countries like Portugal, like Colombia. Mm-hmm. So we've had a mass exodus. Even Circle recently left the United States to go to Bermuda because of all the regulatory uncertainty and what is known as highly unfavorable to anyone involved in crypto. So we're shooting ourselves in the foot with what we are doing. We're shooting ourselves in the other foot by doing nothing. And it's very, very concerning because as Americans, as a non-accredited investor, there's very, very limited ways that I'm allowed to use all these brand new crypto products.
Who do you think is, so if America's falling behind, who do you think is moving ahead?
Moving ahead are places like Switzerland, especially.
Okay.
Malta has become relevant for the first time in its existence. Singapore, again.
Yeah, Singapore.
Moving
for sure.
Way, way ahead.
South Korea and Japan.
South Korea and Japan. I dare even say China is moving ahead as well.
Interesting.
For the simple fact that they've monopolized the entire Bitcoin industry. They allow mining, but they're not allowing transactions. However, you have to believe that all the Bitcoin miners are made there and they're mining a ton of it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the stuff that's going on in Hong Kong, there's just so much uncertainty there where China's trying to, you know, flex a little bit more control over its Hong Kong. So, you know, China owns Hong Kong, but it's what is it called? Two systems, one country, or one country, two systems.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's been a lot of things in the news right now with China trying to influence some laws in Hong Kong that are going to be more or less stripping Hong Kong citizens of some of the democratic rights that they have. You know, Hong Kong doesn't allow extradition right now, but China's trying to enable or enact or legislate into existence some extradition bills. Extradition just means that you can take a Hong Kong citizen and if he's facing a crime in a different country, that person could be taken from his home country to be tried in the mainland China. So there's that. There's some voting things that are going around. So China, it's just so powerful, and they have such broad horizons. And so I agree with you that they might be, you know, they might be a world power here. Or I mean, they are a world power, but they are a threat absolutely to America. And with the repossession or regaining control over Hong Kong, that's just going to add more power to their, you know, their GDP and to their all their resources at the end
of
the day.
Yeah, Hong Kong is a financial world capital, just like Singapore, just like Switzerland.
I would go so far as to say it is the world financial capital over New York, over London, over Singapore.
Maybe.
We'd have to look at the numbers on that one. Yeah. But anyhow, so yeah, America's falling behind the rest of the world.
And the reason is just simply there's a lot of old people in charge that want to protect their legacy systems and the way that they know things. American mentality is very traditional. You cannot have progress and tradition at the same time.
Yeah.
So this is a choice by our leaders. Meanwhile, as citizens, we argue with each other, left versus right, and very few people are actually looking forward and above to see what's going on outside of our little 6-foot radius bubbles. And I think that's very, very dangerous. And I hope that we have a leader emerge somehow, somewhere, whether it's political or in the media or whatever.
Or if Satoshi comes back home.
Something. You know, to kind of change the narrative and the perspective and get America united again as the world power that it is and hopefully will remain.
Well, you know, the last point I want to make on this is that, you know, we're kind of moving into a world where it's not the countries that are as important or as influential, but it is the corporations, right? It's the $1 trillion companies like Apple and Microsoft on Amazon who are in effect a nation state in and of themselves, right? They have
That's true.
And Facebook. These guys all have so much, you know, influence on what laws get made. And, you know, they're more important than borders in some sense. Anyhow, moving on, let's go to fire tweets. Pete's, you had a pretty interesting one today. It has nothing to do with crypto, but sometimes we like to do that. Which one did you have?
I thought this was really silly and clever. It's by a very silly and clever person named @LTC_Angel. And she says, Questions you should ask on a date before you copulate with the opposite sex.
Ah, copulate. Are we going to have to define that word for encryptnation?
We will not. Number one, AI is breaching industries and advancing further. What if it were to become conscious? Should we give it rights and live with it? Or will it enslave and destroy us? And number two, name habitable exoplanets.
So why did you like this? I don't get it.
Because those are the most ridiculous standards to have to decide whether or not you're going to copulate on a first date or not. And I thought that was really funny.
Okay, cool. So fire, funny, all good. Mine is this guy's got to have a whole army of Twitter content guys in his writer's room writing his tweets because, again, featuring Rhythm Trader, this guy's an animal. He says there's an entire generation living paycheck to paycheck with no savings, no pension, and no retirement plan. There's limited upside potential with the stock and the real estate markets already at all-time highs and interest rates at an all-time low. Bitcoin is this generation's only option.
That's my generation.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this just speaks so true. It's like right now, yeah, it's a very risky play. It's a volatile play. But at the end of the day, it's a better savings technology than putting your money in a money market account or a savings account where you get 0.1% interest rates a year. All these things that are just going to flatline you, where if you're young and you're out there, Crypt Nation, you're listening, you have to take at least a little bit of risk, before it's too late.
At something.
Yeah, take a risk at something. Start your own. It doesn't need to be buying Bitcoin. That's the only way. Start your own crypto company. Learn about it. Learn how to code. Read more books.
And digital money especially. Like, you don't even have to put it in Bitcoin if you don't think it's going to be around or whatever your reasons are. Put it in a stable coin. Put it in USDC and earn interest on it. You can earn 8% interest just by leaving your stable coins on Nexo. I mean, not to hawk Nexo, like they're not paying us for a sponsorship or anything, but they're one of many platforms that will give you a much more significant amount of interest.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like if you guys have these stable coins, you should be lending them out, I think.
Your money should always work as hard for you as you work for it, period.
Amen. Amen. So let's briefly touch on a segment that we call Scorched Earth, where we just kind of talk about times in our lives that we've been scorched or we've been burned. And so we kind of want to talk about, you know, there's this really, I kind of want to call it toxic, but it's more just competitive culture, and there's tribalism here in the crypto communities. And what does that really mean?
Yeah, it's more or less people find a project they like, and they don't just root for their project, but they root against other things.
Right.
We see it a lot from Bitcoin. We see it a lot in XRP. We see a lot even Cardano, like many, many other things. Monero, Skycoin, they all think there is the best and everything else is shit. But the problem is we have a lot of people that are trying to help revolutionize the world.
Right.
Bitcoin wasn't the end. It was the beginning. And yes, we need to, you know, be skeptical and wary of scams and junk and stuff like that. But also, when we're not working together, we're wasting a lot of time. There are so many dApps platforms out there and smart contracts platforms that are literally doing the exact same thing. When you have all this development that could be done either working together to build a better single product overall, it could be used to build a good user experience, which very, very few people even have yet.
Yeah.
There's so much that needs to get done. There's so many problems left in the world that need to be addressed that could be addressed through blockchain and crypto, yet so many people are focused on solving the same problem over and over instead of branching out and taking a risk. And a lot of that is because of the backlash that anyone gets for trying to do something new or different, which I think is the most ironic attitude to have when all of us are here because of a revolutionary new technology like Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think the Bitcoin maximalist crew, you know, I feel like they come from a good place in the sense that what they're doing, you know, they're trolling because they want to be provocateurs, if you will. So they want to provoke thought. And a lot of these guys are some of the smartest guys in the space. And they're basically, the point they're trying to make is like, hey, Bitcoin is kind of going to be the end all be all of cryptocurrency to the, in their opinion. And that nobody's going to do it better. And that, you know, there were a lot of scams that cropped up in 2017 when that bubble hit and a lot of people got burned. So they're so brash and so maybe aggressive because it comes from a good place of, hey, we want to protect everybody who you know, is getting swindled into getting some of these other coins that are being marketed as better than Bitcoin, you know, more potential than Bitcoin, all this stuff. And they're just calling it like they see it. So I think they're coming from a good place. An educated place and one where, you know, they say at the end of the day, you know, you're the safest bet in the crypto space, which is already so risk heavy, is Bitcoin.
However, the problem is making blanket statements and putting everything else inside of one box.
Yeah,
it's like, the same mentality as racism.
Yeah, and politics.
And politics. So
yeah.
You can say
they're extremists.
Bitcoin, it's very extremist point of view. You can definitely say
and
Bitcoin
they'll defend
is
it till the day they die.
You can say Bitcoin is the most proven project and potentially the safest store of value at this time, but to say there are no other legit projects out there is absolutely insane, and it's a lie. It's an absolute lie, and you shouldn't be lying to people, especially if you're coming from a good place, which I agree. I think most of them are. They don't want people to lose their money in scams, and they want Bitcoin to be adopted because it has the best chance of changing the world right now. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you're going to be a hero, you know, don't lay a lot of innocent blood in your wake.
Yeah.
So there has to be an evolution to this revolution. And that evolution is collaboration instead of competition. When we start linking all these blockchain systems together, when smart contracts can call out to one another, regardless of platform or coding language, when tokens can automatically swap between one another in the background, that's when a user experience can be really good and all the heavy lifting is done on the back end, and users don't have to sign messages and pay gas fees and all this other dumb stuff. And remember 64 character addresses? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, we're still so new, and you know, there's just so much building happening. We see it every day. You know, it's funny that you mentioned, not just like a little tangent, but I saw a company that's building, a naming system. It was Alibaba. That's what it was. It was Alibaba is building out this blockchain-based domain naming service where instead of sending a, you know, Ethereum to PizzaMine's 0x123 account or a BTC to his, you know, 3FJ whatever account, those are like the addresses that are those, you know, 32 characters that are so confusing, they will have a system where it's like, hey, send it to PizzaMind123, and you could send any crypto here, and it will go to a linked account. And so it's kind of like an email address, like where you could send any sort of it's like building a new protocol, essentially.
It's like a domain address.
Yeah.
Where, like, google.com is not actually google.com. That redirects to an IP address at Google's load balancer. So essentially, we're like the internet with no domain names yet.
Yeah, we're like the internet before domain names.
That's how early we are in the space. So it's way too early to even have competition. We need to be working together just for simple survival. There's a huge pie in the sky, and we're just fighting over crumbs when we should be giving each other a boost to get up there.
Yeah, rising tide lifts all boats, and that's what we're trying to go for.
Yeah, so think that over.
And lastly, we've got some big news that we've been talking about all week long. So why don't we introduce the news segment?
So in today's news, we're going to be talking about the XRP community threatening to fork. We have a look at the stats on IEOs so far. Galaxy Digital has been granted a broker-dealer securities license. That's a huge deal.
Very big.
Bakkt is finally open for business. Oh my God.
As big as
after almost a year. And an Apple executive says crypto is the future. So let's get into that right now.
We need to climb our way back up into having the power put back in our hands. And one community is finally doing that. The XRP army is threatening to hard fork XRP because Ripple continues to dump massive amounts of XRP tokens onto the open market and sell hundreds of millions of tokens over the counter, driving XRP prices downward. They said they were going to do less this quarter, yet we can tell from the movements from their escrow accounts that it just continues to be massive, massive amounts, and it is not acceptable. Brad Garlinghouse, the CEO of Ripple, says these moves are necessary to facilitate partnerships and Ripple operations, but the community is rightfully accusing Ripple of really just manipulating the market and keeping all the profits for themselves. It's completely unacceptable. Influencer and XRP community member Crypto Bitlord has over 100,000 followers on Twitter, and he's threatening to fork XRP and turn it over to the community to maintain, which is a great idea. The XRP army absolutely should take over XRP, except they can't, because Ripple is centralized. It is not developed by the community. You have no control over it at all, like at all. In fact, the list of network validators, while it does have some third-party nodes contributing, it's dominated by Ripple again. However, the XRP ledger is open source. So while you can't take over XRP the way the Monero community did to XMR back in the day when their developers were corrupt, you can fork it. You can make your own XRP. You can all leave Ripple in the dust. They've said repeatedly they don't care what the price of XRP is, which they're legally obligated to say. So why don't you send the XRP price to zero and invest in a real investment vehicle instead of something that's based on hype and smoke and mirrors and is used for speculation only? XRP is not a store of value like Bitcoin. It is a strictly transactional currency, and it's used for massive international transfers from corporations. Like, the general public is not their target market at all. So I don't know why you guys are in the XRP army, but I feel for you because you've been really taken advantage of. And I hope you take the power back and put it in your hands. I'm really rooting for you. And Crypto Bitlord, shout out to you for making this happen. There's a petition right now on change.org that has over 3,000 signatures and needs to get to 10,000 to make this hard fork happen. Take the power back in your own hands, XRP Army, and fuck you, Ripple.
So one of the latest things that's been really hot in crypto is the evolution from ICOs to IEOs, initial exchange offerings. Exchanges are sponsoring certain products and giving them some capital to get off the ground and then doing the whole token distribution for them. So we're going to have a look and see how they're doing as the market still sucks, honestly. So investors are hoping that with exchanges involved, these prices are less likely to dump. Maybe they might be taken care of a little bit. A lot of people are turning to Binance for this, but KuCoin's doing them also. Koss is the first platform. I remember doing this ever before it was called an IEO. Sometime last year, they were doing this. CoinCodex lists 77 projects that have launched an IEO so far. And the returns so far are meager at best. Two-thirds of them have dropped in value from the already low prices that IEO investors paid, with a median return on investment of negative 81%. Ouch. And CoinCodex only counted the coins that are still being actively traded. So that doesn't even include projects that have already shut down or dropped to nothing. And how many projects those are, who knows? So IEOs, a complete disaster with the exception of a couple outliers. The average positive return on investment was about 178%, and that's just due to a few really successful projects pumping that price up. But, I mean, that hasn't even doubled investors' money in 6 months, which the unfortunate expectations are still lingering from 2017 when, I mean, that was just happening all the time. But it's been well over a year and a half, going on 2 years now since that's happened. So it's about time to maybe be very, very particular and careful about what we invest in, especially when long-term proven projects are just as cheap, if not cheaper, at this time.
So today in crypto, we have Galaxy Digital. Everybody knows Mike Novogratz is one of the biggest, most infamous Bitcoin bulls. His Galaxy Digital Fund invests in lots of platforms, and they're big believers in Bitcoin. They just were granted a broker-dealer security license, and these are one of the most sought-after licenses, and they're one of the most hardest to get, and they are all about dealing with securities. And so Galaxy Digital is a cryptocurrency bank, and it's going to basically allow them to open and operate an alternative trading system where you can trade blockchain-based digital assets that are classified as securities. So this is huge news. Again, it just goes to show, you know, while the prices are depressed below 20K, people don't stop building.
That's right. So this is huge, huge, huge. This is also going to allow them to issue their own security tokens for their clients and start digitizing assets. So again,
it's huge news. I mean, it can't be understated. This one's a big one. So everybody's heard about Bakkt, which is the physically settled Bitcoin futures that is owned and operated by ICE, International Intercontinental Exchange.
Same people who own the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, same people that own the New York Stock Exchange. So they are a they're issuing, or they just opened their custody business today.
Yeah.
So they're allowing deposits. And then trading will go live of the actual futures contracts on September 23rd.
That's right.
So that's going to be huge.
It's actually happening this time. We've been waiting for almost a year.
I know.
But here it is.
Yeah, literally a year. They said that they were going to launch last November, and then sure enough, they didn't. And here we are.
Yeah. So precursor to this news today, late last night, there was a $1 billion BTC transfer.
Yes, 1 billion.
So we've all been speculating who it could have been. Is it Bakkt? Is it perhaps the Van Eck Fund? So no one knows for sure, but 94,504 Bitcoin was moved all at once.
Damn.
So this wallet had been accumulating BTC since 2016, and now it's been moved somewhere else, presumably to a better custody solution. So a very, very interesting, very scary. So to make sure that this transaction was going to go through as fast as possible, they set the fastest confirmation time, and it cost them $700 for this Bitcoin transaction, which sounds obscene for a Bitcoin transaction. But when you consider all the traditional ways that you could have sent that amount of money, unbelievably cheaper. That's only 70 cents per million dollars.
Yeah, I feel like what wire transfers will take how much or whatever. Western Union takes 20%.
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, so
forget about it.
Bitcoin was used for its original purpose.
Love it.
Transferring wealth.
Final settlement.
Yeah. Big news today. Apple Pay Vice President Jennifer Bailey, while talking to CNN, said that Apple thinks crypto is really interesting and it has long-term potential. So while Apple did not comment on whether or not they're coming out with their own cryptocurrency anytime soon, they said they're watching, and it should be interesting to see what happens from this point forward. If I had to make any kind of speculation, it would be that because Apple is such a user experience focused company, really pioneering the look and design of so many things we use every day and expected behaviors, they know better than anyone that crypto is just not ready yet. So I have a feeling that until crypto becomes more user-friendly, Bitcoin becomes more user-friendly, Ethereum becomes more user-friendly, they're probably just going to sit on the sidelines until they can really deliver a user experience that is worthy of the Apple branding. Just my opinion.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode of The Weekly Fire. It is Saturday, September 7th. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your Saturday, or if you're listening to this on Sunday, maybe. I hope you have a great Sunday. The last thing I'm going to mention is we have a daily show that we just started this week on YouNow. So if you go to unow.com/crypto101, you could see me and Pizza Mind smiling face every day at 5 p.m. And we just chalk it up. You know, we talk crypto, we talk markets, we talk world reports, current events. And it's a place where people come, and it's very interactive platform. So people ask questions, and we pull people into the live stream as well, with their own video content. So it's a really cool platform. It's also crypto friendly. They issued their own cryptocurrency called the Props Token. And so, yeah, so we're having a lot of fun doing that, and we'd love if you guys joined us.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully, we'll see you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.